Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today we want to continue to look at what Jude taught about the characteristics of the heretics. So let's open our Bibles and read verses 12 and 13 of Jude again together. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feast when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild ways of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Now at the last part of verse 12, Luke says that the heretics are like autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. In other words, the heretics are barren. Now for a person to be barren was a reproach back in Bible times. Women who could not bear children were scorned and ridiculed, and they felt left out and felt as though God had cursed them. Men who had no sons to leave their earthly possessions were looked at as second-class citizens. The Bible considers children to be a blessing, but our modern culture looks at children as being an inconvenience in our mad rush to become important and have a career. And children many times are looked at as something that crimps the style of the modern American couple. And the result of materialism and financial success becoming the goal is that barrenness is making a huge comeback in our culture, and that's very disturbing. While the hordes of godless barbarians and savages are having as many children as they can possibly have, American Christians are having fewer and fewer births per family. For example, it is the publicly stated goal of Islam to outpopulate the United States with Muslims, so they will eventually have the voting power to turn the United States into Islamic Republic. While that's going on, American Christians have bought into the lie that a 52-inch high-definition television set that costs more than an automobile is what will make us really happy. But the family cannot possibly afford both new cars, the new home, 5 maxed-out credit cards, and the TV without mom leaving her children and going to work to help pay for all the stuff. And in order for mom to go to work to help pay for all the stuff, we have to throw our children into daycare centers where they will learn the values and the morality of a corporation. And they miss the tender touch of the mother. They miss the beauty and the spiritual strength that only a mother can give. And they grow up vacant of the stability and the comfort and God-ordained care that only women can give their own children. The financial squeeze that the average American family is in is sinful, and it is destroying the very fabric of the home. And unless and until we wake up and realize that the American dream is, for the most part, an ungodly and unbiblical dream, and that keeping up with the Joneses is nothing but covetousness, nothing's going to change. Barrenness is a huge attraction today. You can save more money, have more stuff, do more things if you just don't burden yourself down with all those pesky children. But your home in the Hamptons will not sit by your bedside when you're dying. Your new car won't pray with you when your eyes get dim. Your 401k plan will not hug you and read to you when you're ready to go be with your fathers, but your children will. The primary function of families was never to own more land and build bigger and finer homes and drive nicer cars and get more and more educated. The prime function of families that Almighty God spelled out very clearly is found in Genesis 1:28 that says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, you can call me a male chauvinist if you want to, but I'm telling you the truth. And if you really want to know if what I am saying is true, go ask my wife. Ask my wife if she thinks I'm a cruel and hard and mean man. Ask her if I love her like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ask her about whether I adore her and set her up on a pedestal and don't allow anybody to dishonor her. My children know not to disrespect my wife. If it comes down between my children and my wife, my children lose every single time. My wife is honored and loved and cared for and provided for, and she is the best friend that I have on this earth. And I love her more today after nearly 40 years of marriage than I have ever loved her. When we got married, we were both virgins, and I carried my bride across the threshold, and we knelt down at a couch that we used as our altar. And I looked my new bride right in the eye, and I told her, I love Jesus more than I'll ever love you. She looked me in the eye and said, I love Jesus more than I'll ever love you, and that is why we have such a good marriage. And after 6 children, she is more beautiful and lovely and gracious now than ever before. Beloved, it is because Jesus is first in my life and not my wife that we have such a good marriage. I love Jesus much more than I will ever love my wife, and Jesus tells me very clearly that if I want to please him, that I need to love my wife like Christ loved the church. And so because I love Jesus more than I love my wife, I treat my wife with dignity and respect. And the love that I have for my wife flows out of the fact that I am in awe of her, and I respect her, and I admire her. You see, if I am to please my precious Lord, then I have to love my wife and not be bitter toward her and dwell with her according to knowledge. And because my wife loves Jesus more than she loves me, Jesus tells her to honor me and to obey me and respect me and graciously and lovingly submit herself to my leadership. When our children were born, we prayed about who should raise them, and we came to the conclusion that nobody on the face of the earth was more qualified to raise our children than the very woman who bore them, my wife. So she didn't work outside the home, and we sacrificed and did without, so that she could raise our children and instill within them the fear and the nurture of the Lord. So we didn't have but one vehicle. We didn't have air conditioning, and we didn't have a washer, dryer, or a dishwasher, and we didn't have a large house, and we didn't have cable or satellite because we didn't own a television. We didn't have a lot of this world's goods, but we had each other. And we had Jesus, and we would sing and pray and laugh and read the Bible. And my wife taught our children to be Christians, and she raised them at home while I was at work. And she taught them to fear God and to serve Jesus and to obey the Bible and to work hard. And she raised them and cooked for them and laughed with them. And she taught them to walk and to sit up, and she taught them to pray and to read, and she taught them math and science and history, and she taught them to be honest and to be faithful. During that time, God dealt with my heart, and I went back to school for a decade. I went to night school after work, sometimes up to 4 days a week, in order to get the classes that I needed to start my own business. And in 1985, I quit my job and began my own business by faith. Our second child was born in 1982, mentally retarded, and my wife cared for her. And when our baby contracted leukemia right after I started my business in 1985, my wife traveled to Jackson, Mississippi to treat her at the University Medical Center and lived in a room with our daughter for up to 6 months a year. Because we couldn't afford the health insurance, we had to administer the chemotherapy ourselves at home, and we set up a place at home where our sweet, precious, dying daughter could hear holy music all day long as she died. Because much of the chemotherapy causes birth defects, the medical staff urged my wife to not bear any more children, and when she became with child again in 1986, they told her to abort the baby. But my wife wouldn't listen to their logic. Even if the next child was defective, the child was a gift from God, and she was going to have it anyway. So she didn't kill her baby, and she brought forth a healthy and normal fourth child and third daughter into the world in December of 1986. And then after bearing my second son in 1988, my wife lost another daughter in 1993. With no formal training and with much criticism about what we were doing, my wife educated our 4 living children while she taught them to study the Bible and to fast and to pray. Now, the reason I'm bringing all this up is to show you that I'm not just talking about lofty platitudes when I speak about children being a heritage of the Lord. I speak from firsthand experience. My wife and I are qualified to counsel with troubled marriages because our marriage is good. We are qualified to speak into the lives of young couples because God spoke into our lives. I am qualified to preach against the sin of women leaving their God-given call to bear and to raise children so they can have their careers, because this preacher actually lives what he says, and my wife and I actually did it. Dear friends, we are fast becoming a barren nation again, and what is sad is that this barrenness is entirely self-inflicted and is the result of buying into the false doctrine that says that more stuff will make us happy rather than obeying God. For example, if we just had the people that we've murdered in legal abortions since 1973 in this country, we would not be having the Social Security shortfall that is fast coming upon this nation. If you discount legal immigration, the United States is in a population decline, as most of the Western world is. Because of nothing other than birth rates, France will be an Islamic state by 2050. By the middle of the 21st century, if present trends continue, Germany will be reduced to being a third-rate country with a population of just over 26 million. And that is because more people are dying than are being born. Western Europe has almost gone totally pagan, and Christianity is almost dead in many parts of Europe. And it is that same pagan philosophy that many are trying to bring over to the United States that devalues life and throws children to the wind. Meanwhile, pagan countries and nations that are dominated by false and demonic religions are going to triple in population during the next 50 years. This trend is the direct result of wicked philosophies from public school, television, Hollywood programming, and feminism, and the ease at which birth control and abortion is so accepted. These things permeate our culture to the point where getting married and having a house full of children and raising them herself is the last thing on the mind of the average modern American girl. I would tell you that the ungodly spirit of feminism and ungodly so-called role models who embolden women to think and act and live in direct rebellion to the Word of God, like Oprah Winfrey and the women on The View and female politicians that purport to speak for women in ungodly magazines, and sadly, many famous television preachers are contributing to the confusion that young ladies have today about their true calling in life. And they are encouraging the self-inflicted barrenness of our land. But it should never happen in the church. Now, I realize that there are women who want to bear children and simply cannot have them, and I'm not talking about them. God is good, however, and God will graciously allow these dear souls to be productive in other areas of life so they may be satisfied and fulfilled. But what I am saying about this barrenness is true, dear friends. And we need to wake up and smell the coffee. Without the honor and dignity and glory and beauty of motherhood, we have no future. And the church is failing to promote children and to denounce ungodly barrenness that is captivating the minds and hearts of the modern female's mind. We have to understand that it is Christianity, more than any other religion in the history of the world, that freed women and gave them dignity and brought honor to marriage and taught men to love and to cherish those wives. So in spite of what the feminists say, Christianity does not hold women back. True, genuine, biblical Christianity frees women to be what God created them to be, and to marry godly men, and to love their husbands, and bear and raise children who will fear God and obey the scriptures, and who will go out from the home and change the world. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.